This is Guildcast, episode 30, for May 29th, 2006. Hey everyone, welcome back to Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean. And this episode is yet another casual conversation between Lady Sinea and I, where we answer a few emails, talk about how we're doing in the game, and generally ramble on about nothing. A couple things I wanted to add, though, that I only briefly talked about in our conversation was about my new guild and the new tournament I'm starting. Earlier in this week, I left Lost, and I started up my own guild called Guildcast Listeners United. It's mainly for Guildcast listeners, of course, so I won't be doing any random recruiting, but it's a way for listeners to help each other out or help out other new players to the game. Also, I'd say the biggest reason I started it was so that I could start this new scrimmage tournament that I'm planning. This way, being guild leader, I can invite players as guests into my guild to have them participate in the tournament. I'll be recruiting people for the guild in the message board, and there's a section for the guild and a separate board in there called Join Request that you can check out if you are interested in joining the guild. And I'd like to get some officers who can act as judges for not only the tournament, but also other contests as well. And I'd also like them to be able to conduct their own contests whenever they can. This, I think, would be perfect for someone with a second account that they wouldn't mind using for this purpose. And with this new scrimmage tournament, I have a post up about it in the forum where I give my basic rundown of what I'm planning so far. I have some good posts in the thread for other ideas relating to the tournament also, and those ideas will all be taken into consideration once I write up the official rules for the tournament, probably later this week. Signups for the tournament will also start this week on the forum once I make a signup thread. But I do talk a little bit more about this in this conversation with Lady Sinea. So here's the show, and I hope you enjoy it. All right, so what did we want to talk about first? You want me to read some emails and we'll talk about those first?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this first one I got, it was actually right after we did the last show, so this is about a month old. This email's pretty old.
Okay.
But he talks a little bit about, I'll just read it, it's not too long, but he talks a little bit about early gold farming. And, okay, this is what he says. He says, "Sean, I heard you in one of your previous episodes respond to a question where someone asked what the best way to make money early in the game is. When I first created my warrior monk for farming, I had to both level quickly and get some cash to buy armor and items. What I found to be the best way to farm is right outside post-searing Ascalon behind Sardalak Sanitarium." He talks about there's a bunch of corridors with hulking stone elementals. And he gives some details on where they're at and everything, but he points out that a lot of these stone elementals only have physical damage. They don't really cast anything. And I think that's a good advantage to an early player when they first go into post-searing and, you know, something that they can fight easily. At first he says he gets about 1K an hour doing this, which isn't bad for a starting player, you know. And then he writes back and says that it's more like about 700. But, I don't know, I thought this was a pretty good little tip. It's not really a question or anything. It's just, you know, a tip on a good place to farm when you first start out. And that should probably help out some people, I hope.
That's neat. If he's listening to this, maybe he can post a map of where he's talking about exactly.
Well, actually, he did send me a map in one of the emails, and he circled some of the areas that he was talking about, mostly behind Sardalak Sanitarium. So I could post that in the forums.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I guess that's for really basic starting out players who just left pre-searing.
Yeah, I suppose that makes it easier if you're not familiar with the game yet.
Yeah. And then I have another email. Let's see, I'm going to try to paraphrase this one. It's pretty long, but it's from MDude Master. Mm-hmm. He's written to me a few times. And basically what he's saying is he was in Tombs, and he was their minion master went AFK.
Great.
For about 5 minutes. So the whole party was getting a little antsy, you know, and they were starting to say bad things about him. And he said that, this is what he said. He said, "I'm going to go to your house and I'll beat you up and your family if you don't get back on." So he said, you know, he was just saying this as his joke. But then later on, the minion master came out of AFK and said that they're going to report him for what he said. Basically, what he wants to know is if he could get in trouble for something like that, if he could really get banned, because this person says that they're sending this screenshots of what he said and everything, and I, you know, he's just telling me what he said. I don't know exactly what he said, but I would say based on what he's saying that he said, I don't know. To me, it seems like ArenaNet has more important things to do than worry about a little squabble like this. What do you think?
True, but they do take the abuse of other players pretty seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, they take, there's a account abuse is probably top on their list. And then there is, like, character names that are offensive or racist, things like that. And they ban accounts or they shut down characters that have those names, right? They don't close your account. And then if, like, people are, like, talking vulgar in towns and stuff, if you report that, they can shut down those characters. So they do take that kind of stuff pretty seriously. That's kind of like, you know, even if it was just a joke, a person can't really tell when you're just reading on a chat screen if it is a joke or if it's actually a threat.
Yeah, and to be saying that you're going to go to your house and threatening you and your family, I think that's, they might look at that part, but I don't know. And who's to say this person even really reported it, you know?
That's true, too.
But let's see, I got another email. It says, I'd like you two to discuss the fact that Europe has had favor of the gods forever, and America and others have come close but not winning favor. So, I mean, that's basically, I mean, it might seem like America never has favor, but you've probably seen this more than me, because I know, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, America always has favor. Or, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, my time.
Yeah. It really depends on what time of day you're on.
Yeah, yeah. So I think during the day, you know, in America, it's evening time in Europe, mostly, you know, on average. And that's usually the time.
Right, so there's the Europeans are all playing,
yeah, exactly.
And all the Americans are in school or at work. So.
Yeah, so if you want to see America have favor, basically what we're saying is stay up till after midnight, and then and then you'll see America have favor. But it does seem like America's not having favor as much lately. Another one. This one, I guess, would be more towards you, I guess. He says, I was just writing because the one thing that interests me about anyone I meet in an MMO is their character names. I've spent days obsessing about the perfect name to use, and so I wanted to know what amount of effort you and others might put into it. This is by Twilight Skeith, S-K-E-I-T-H. But I know that you have, on your account, you have all the same last names, and I know you put up that really cool family tree on the forums.
Mm-hmm.
So you've really done a lot of research and a lot of storyline into your names.
Well, I wouldn't say research. Basically, the first character that I created was my ranger, and then I made all my other characters have the same last name. Except for Senea, it's Lady Senea rather than being Senea Lewin. But, I mean, I had in mind what the characters were going to be like and such, but, I mean, I didn't really think a whole lot about the names after I created the first one. I wanted to make sure they're, like, names that were kind of fantasy-sounding, and they weren't, like, really common names Sarah, you know?
Yeah, I think naming your characters just, I mean, there's such a wide, I mean, look at mine, you know, I got Walmart Special, I mean,
yeah,
you know, it can go anything from really serious role-playing names where people get out of books or things like that, which is most common, I think, to, you know, totally joke names like mine. At one account is basically a lot of joke names. Now, on my second account, I have a surname, like you did, and I'm naming each character as I'm making them and keeping the same surname. I haven't really made, like, a storyline or a family tree about them yet, but I like that idea of keeping them all on the same account as having the same surname.
It also makes it easier for your friends to recognize who you are.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, like, Shadow, he's like, the shadowed blank, and you always know who he is.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But then during the factions PvP weekend, I made a whole bunch of characters that had really silly names. Just because I was making a ton of them and then deleting them afterwards, you know?
Yeah, a lot of times people do that with PvP. They'll name the silliest name just because they know that they can make another one tomorrow.
And then when I made my assassin, I went online and looked for Japanese names that sounded cool. And his first name, God, I forget. I think it means one's masculine power. I thought that was appropriate. It's an inside joke to amuse myself.
Oh, okay.
You've been talking a lot about alliance battles, and I wanted to hear about it, because I haven't done any.
You haven't done any at all?
No. I was going to bring my Mesmer into one, but then I realized that I couldn't, because I don't have factions on that account, so I was like, oh well.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't even let me go to the region.
Oh, okay. Well, the only way I've done it is I've gone straight from the guild hall. There's an alliance battle NPC in the guild hall, and you talk to him, and then you go to one of the, there's five different locations you can go to, and as a general overview, I'm not going to get into the details, but you got 12 versus 12, and when you first talk to this NPC, you get sent to one of these five locations, and while you're at that location, that's where you form your party of four. So you form a party of four, and then three other groups form parties of four also. These groups are randomly put together. Like if you're Kurzik, you get your groups together, and then once the Luxans get their groups together, then you go, you know, and do your alliance battle. Basically what it is there's seven control points on the map that you have to hold, and you get points for each one of these control points that you hold on the map, and you get certain special abilities when you hold these. Like you get a melee bonus, there's elemental protection. You get a dragon if you hold the dragon's nest point, things like that. You get little bonuses for each one. And basically the first one to 500 points wins. You get points for killing other players, things like that. But when you respawn, if you die, you respawn at a spawning point, and you don't get death penalties. So you can die, you know, a million times, and you just keep coming back up until the other team gets that 500 points. So with that said, these alliance battles are really good for minion masters, especially, because there's so many corpses, and also for Ai Wei. Those are two big things that have really been taking these alliance battles and holding them. You know, if you have a minion master and you want to try these alliance battles, right, that's the character to play, because they're really in demand.
Do you ever get something like a party of NPCs ends up in your group, or
no,
does that not happen, like, in the PvE missions?
No, it doesn't fill you up with henchies.
So you're always going to end up with character players.
Yeah, now there are NPCs on the board, you know, in the environment, that play with you. But as far as in your party itself, it'll sit there and wait until you fill up.
Oh, okay.
You know, you fill up your four, and it'll sit there and wait, and sometimes that's one of the reasons I don't really play those anymore. You just sit there forever waiting for the other side. You know, it'll keep restarting the timer like it does in Fort Aspenwood, you know,
right,
and Jade Quarry. And it'll just sit there and sit there and sit there. So you got to play at peak times, basically.
Mm.
And you asked me a question about having someone play that's like as a guest to your guild. And didn't you say that you had Loudon play like that?
Yeah, my guild is Kurzik, and then I invited Loudon to come in, and as he's allied with Luxon, and also had more Luxon faction at the time, he tried to talk to my alliance battle guy and was able to get through and end up in the Kurzik zone. So if you had somebody who wanted to come join you in an alliance battle, and you guys are on opposite sides, you could just do that, so you can end up in the same region.
That's pretty cool. That's actually something I didn't even think about until you asked me about it.
Yeah, well, I thought about it because someone wanted me to join them in an alliance battle, and I said, no, I can't, because I'm on the other side, and then I started thinking about that. So you could basically be a traitor by just being friends with the other side.
Well, actually, you know, it's funny you say that, because there's been a lot of this going around lately. I kind of hate to mention it because it's so backstabbing, but it's so popular now. I think everybody knows about it. And actually, this happens more in Fort Aspenwood and Jade Quarry because it's easier to control. But you go to the other side and you join their battles, and then as soon as you get in, you quit. You know, you log out or whatever. That way, they have less players. You know what I mean? So you're Kurzik, you're joining the Luxon side and then quitting, so then the Luxons have less players, so the Kurzik will win. That's pretty pretty low down, I think. A lot of people are doing it.
Does that have any impact on anything?
It just helps the other side win, and then they get more faction points.
So you're basically just helping random people that you don't know?
Yeah, basically.
That's really lame.
It's mainly, I think, people do it to get the line to move. Like, they're helping out their side more to get that line to move, which to me doesn't matter at all.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that reminds me of a time that I was in Random Arena, and there was just this necromancer who was just sacrificing himself over and over again, and it was like, great, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny how some people's minds work like that.
It's like, are you having fun yet?
Yeah, exactly. I could think of a million other things I'd rather be doing with my time than
than
that. I think it was last show or the show before that I was talking about those annoying pop-ups, mm-hmm. you know, from the NPCs.
Right.
Man, those things, they would drive me nuts.
And then Junkmaster figured out how to get rid of them.
Yeah, exactly. I guess he said that what you do is when you see the windows pop up or when you're with the NPCs and they're talking, it's getting in your way and getting annoying or whatever, you press F11 and that'll bring up your options menu. And then toward the bottom of that window, it says customize layout. You click on that, and he wasn't really sure, or maybe I didn't understand him right, but he said there's two boxes that you click on. They both say either dialogue 1 and dialogue 2, or something 1 and 2. It's numbered 1 and 2. And one of those does something, and the other one does something else. But I just unclicked both of them, and it worked.
Oh, you just unclicked them entirely?
Yeah, both of them I just unclicked, and it's worked just fine.
Oh, that's good.
Did you mess with that at all?
I went into the edit interface and moved them up higher on the screen so that they weren't right in the middle of my view.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, I guess that's a way you could do it too, just get them out of the way. But yeah, I just unclicked them entirely, and it seemed to work all right. Now, they still say it down, you know, in the chat, or in the little chat section.
That's fine, because you still want to see what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect. But those things would pop up right in the middle of the thing. You know, you're trying to attack somebody or heal or whatever, and you just couldn't do it. Apparently, from what I heard just recently, they took care of those bots that are all over Drox and, you know, everything like that. ArenaNet's have been watching this for a while, and they finally caught on as to who's doing this. And they said that they banned more than 1,000 accounts that have been using these bots. So that's
good for them.
Good news. Yeah, exactly. That's real good news. Maybe it'll adjust prices a little bit more.
Maybe, but there's plenty of us still farming out there the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, it's just not as efficient, I guess, as the other ways with the bots, but it's just so unfair, you know?
Well, you could say that kind of because, you know, maybe a player only plays 5 hours a day, whereas your bot could play 20.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But it's nice to know that they're not worried about just having the money from an account, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of companies could just say, well, I sold this account, somebody bought the account, and who cares what they do with it? I made the money off of it, who cares what they're doing?
Right.
But ArenaNet's actually going in there and closing these accounts, showing that it's not all about the money, you know? And I think that's good.
Yeah, that is good. I, like, really respect them for that. Because as long as they keep the game interesting, we're going to keep on buying the new chapters that come out. You know, if they let everything get overrun, we would stop playing, and they'd never make any more money off of us.
Yep. Now, you were mentioning, was it today? Yeah, it was today you said that you finally beat Shiro?
Yes, that was today at, like, 6 in the morning.
So do you feel better about factions?
I feel like I have completed it.
Yeah.
And I also went and bought my armor today for my monk.
Oh, okay. What kind did you get?
I got the 1.5k Kurzik.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I like that Kurzik monk armor.
Yeah, so the only other one I want to get is the, I think it's the Necromancer 1.5k Kurzik as well.
Are you going to, you think you're going to go and do the Luxon side too?
Maybe. Those quests are so hard. They'll seem, like, way harder than the Kurzik ones. I mean, because I can hench most of the Kurzik ones, and then the Luxon ones just kill me.
And it's ironic, too, because the Kurzik Amber is worth more than the Jadeite.
That's really strange. Maybe because it's in higher demand.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I went through the Kurzik side first, and then now I'm at Unwaking Waters? One of the last.
On the Luxon side?
Yeah, on the Luxon side. That's where I'm at now is my ranger. I figured I'd go through both sides and try to beat the missions on both sides and just, you know, to get that variety and everything. But from what I hear, now I haven't gone through too much more than just straight through the missions. I've done a lot of the quests, like in Canine Center and all that. But from what I hear, there's a lot more to the game like the Deep. I haven't even been down to the Deep yet, but I hear so many good things about that. So I'd really like to check that out.
Is that one of the elite missions?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure all the details about it, but I know that someone has to invite you down there. Someone who controls, the city. They control the town. This guild controls the town, and only they can invite you down into that.
Yeah. There's people who are always taking people down there for free.
Yeah. The ferry to the Deep is spamming up the windows now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd like to take advantage of that one of these days. I wanted to finish the Luxon side first before I started getting into that. But yeah, I'd like to check that out one of these days and see what that's all about.
Cool. I guess it's like seems more efficient to farm one side of faction versus the other, because if you start spending faction, you lose faction from your other side.
Yeah. And that was something I didn't realize until when I first... See, I had like 4,000 Lux in faction, and then I started, doing the Kurzik side. When I traded the faction into the faction rewards NPC, I lost all that Lux in faction.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot smarter to go one side at a time.
But, yeah, what have you heard about these missions?
The elite missions?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I haven't really heard too much about them at all. A couple of guildies, or actually ex-guildies, which I'll get into in a second, but a couple of ex-guildies have gone down there and told me about it, just briefly, though. They haven't really given me any details. And I haven't really asked either. I guess I should have, but I'm kind of on the mindset to where I just want to finish one thing at a time. I don't want to do a little here and a little there. I just want to finish one whole side, then go back and finish the other whole side, then go back and do these other things. From what I gather about the Deep, though, it seems like it's, like Fissure of Woe or the Underworld, something like that, mm-hmm. Where it's supposed to be really, really difficult, and you can't really go down there unprepared. The people who bring you down there, the guild who owns that city, they need to pretty much give you a rundown of what it's going to be like and what to bring. You can't just have a random group. It really piques my interest to find out, what's down there, what makes it so hard.
So tell me about your new guild.
Well, I earlier this week, I decided to leave Lost, and it wasn't anything against them or anything like that. The main reason I did it is because I wanted to start this new guild, and I just started it a couple days ago, and I announced it on the forums, but that's about it. I haven't gone out recruiting or anything like that, because basically what I want to do with this is make it a guild just for contests, because if I'm guild leader, I can have more control over what I can do as far as scrimmages and GVG, within the guild hall. And I'm going to start making this tournament pretty soon, which I haven't really finalized. I guess some basic things about it. This tournament is probably the main reason why I started this guild, so I can do this tournament and not have any, not have to ask someone if I can use their guild hall or, ask someone if they can help me out with this or this, this and that. I can just do it myself. And this tournament, I'm going to make a 1v1 by class, and then I'm going to make a 2v2 free-for-all. The 1v1 by class, basically, let's say you're a warrior, and you're going to fight...
Versus another warrior.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to fight another warrior, and if you win that, then you're going to go on to fight the next warrior. And it'll start out with 16 people in each division. And I know I'm probably not going to explain it very well here, but I'm going to write up an official thing about it, once I get more details worked out and how it'll work exactly. But like I said, it'll be each division, so there'll be 8 divisions, one for each class, and the winner of each division will go on to fight each other in another tournament-style battle to go on to fight each other like that, and then the winner of that will be the grand champion, basically. And this will be for the 1v1. And then I'll have a 2v2 free-for-all so that any two people can join up with each other, any combination you can think of. And that'll just be one straight tournament right there. There won't be any divisions or anything. That'll be a straight tournament. And the prizes for these, I wanted to make some pretty nice prizes. Like for the divisions, I'm going to make a 10K prize for each division champion. And then for the grand champion, the one who wins everything in the 1v1, there will be a 50K prize and their choice of any 4 items from the prize page. And then for the 2v2 champion, I'll make it a 50K prize to split between the two members of the winning pair.
Cool.
So this will be something that's going to break my bank pretty much, but I think it'll be pretty neat.
Nice.
Hopefully, and a lot of people have been asking me since I put it in the forums if they can join, like, if they can have their Necro join one division and their Warrior join another division. And that's perfectly fine with me. But if it gets down to the point where, say, your Warrior is up against your Necro towards the end of the tournament, you got to basically pick one that you want to continue. But, and that shouldn't be a problem. But yeah, you can enter as many times as you want with each separate class that you want, you know. But like I said, I'm going to put more details about this up as soon as I get it worked out more. Because, like, I don't have details worked out about how many of each battle someone's going to win. Like, if it'll be best 3 out of 5 or best 2 out of 3. Because this it could take a long time if I do it that way. But I haven't really worked out details like that. So I guess you can look for more information about that on the forums or on the website, you know, at a later date.
I'd say 2 out of 3 is fair and wouldn't take as long as doing more than that.
Yeah.
Now, what if you have, like, a pair of people who want to enter multiple times with, like, their different builds?
For the 2 versus 2, you mean?
Yeah.
That, I don't know. I haven't really worked that out yet. I could see how that could be a problem, but I don't know. I don't really want to restrict anything like that. I'd like to have people enter as many times as they can, but I don't know. I guess I'll work that out.
I guess it'll probably depend mostly on how many entries you get.
Yeah, that too, because I'd like to have, starting out, 16 entries for each division, and I don't know if I'll get that many. So I guess that'll be a big determiner in it. And I guess what I'll do as far as, like, signing up for this is I'll have a post in the forums, and people can just reply to the post, you know, with their entry, or they can email me or whatever. But like I was saying, you know, how this relates to the guild that I made, that's pretty much the main reason I made the guild, was for this tournament and for other contests. And cool. Other ways I wanted to use the guild, I'm not going to have goals of reaching some kind of ladder status, you know, like if we do GVG, which I'd like to do. I'd like to do some GVG in this guild too. But the officers will basically be judges, you know, for contests. I think this would be good for people with second accounts, maybe. You know, they can have their second account in another guild, and because this guild isn't going to be that serious about anything. You know, we're not going to be strict PvP guild or, you know, strict GVG or, you know, anything like that. It's going to be, like I said, mostly for contests and the tournaments, and anybody else who really wants help, you know, it'll be people who want to help each other out, help out new players, you know, things like that. Pretty laid back.
That's cool. People who want to be in the scrimmages, do they have to join the guild, or can you just guest invite them? And then since they're in your hall, then that's okay.
Yeah, that's a good point, because somebody asked me about that, too. No, you don't have to be in the guild to participate in any of the contests or tournaments or anything. Yeah, it'll be strictly, everybody will be invited as a guest who participates in the tournament. Yeah, so you don't have to join the guild for that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I mentioned either, but the name of the guild is Guildcast Listeners United.
What's the tag?
GLU, glue. That has no meaning at all. It just kind of worked out that way. Actually, I originally wanted to make it the Benevolent Listeners of Guildcast, so that the tag would be blog. But it was too many letters.
Aww.
And that would have been perfect, too, because benevolent, being helpful and everything like that, I mean, it would have been really nice, but such is life.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We want to talk about the updates, right?
Yeah.
So they did the update to the Luxon running faction farming thing. What is that called? The supply run for the Luxons?
Oh, yeah.
They nerfed that, but it looks like the Kurzik supply line run is not nerfed, and you can still do it.
Yeah, I wonder why they did that only for Luxons.
I don't know, but that's the way it looks.
Yeah, that was on May 19th they did that. And there were a couple different ways. Of course, it was inevitable that people were going to find ways to farm faction, and they did. And then it was also inevitable that ArenaNet would nerf that, you know.
But they made it so it's a repeatable quest. So you knew people were going to do it over and over again.
I don't know. Maybe it was just too easy. I didn't try the Luxon one. I tried the Kurzik one, and it seemed pretty difficult. It seemed like it wasn't worth it. You know, you get 400 faction for this run that was a pain in the butt, so.
And the Luxon one was really easy. We could run it with our monks, and it only took, like, a minute.
Oh,
it was boring as heck. I would probably shoot myself from being so bored, but it was really easy.
Oh, okay. That might be why they did it then.
So, how much materials did you need for... What armor did you get? You got something for your ranger, right?
Yeah, I got the 15K Kurzik. Well, I got everything but the mask, basically. Because the mask, I didn't have it on her anyways, you know, as being visible. So I figured, why spend the money on it?
So how much amber did you need for that?
Without the mask, there was 70 amber I had to get, and that took quite a while.
So what was your choice method of faction farming?
There was a quest, a Matt's Basin, that's what it's called, a Matt's Basin. That's the one...
Oh, that's right, you're saying the one that they changed with the three paths.
Yeah. It was really easy for a while, to where you could just pick one path and have the henchies clear the path for you, and then, you know... And everything was fine. They've since changed it to where they've made it more difficult. And I've done it. I still did it a few times after they changed it. And it's just a little bit more difficult. But you still... Basically, before, you could do it without being at your computer. You could be AFK and be doing this mission and getting faction. So they changed that, which it's not a big deal, you know.
Yeah. Oh, darn. You have to actually work for it now.
Yeah. I have to actually be at the computer now. But what I did mostly when I... did that mission was I trapped it. I went as a trapper and I trapped all around the portal. When the refugees are running down towards the portal, they're pulling the monsters down. So it worked really good, trapping did.
So they run into all the traps. That's
yeah.
good.
Because when you first start out the mission, they give you a minute before any enemies appear. And there's a timer, you know, for this minute. Or I think it's a minute. I think it's maybe it's like 45 seconds. But I would run around to the beginning of each thing and just put down as many traps as I could and then go hide. And I'd put it right where they pop up, because the enemies pop up, you know, when the timer runs out.
Mm-hmm.
So right when they pop up, they'd all die from the traps.
Perfect.
So that was an easy one. But then they keep spawning, like, every few minutes. So I couldn't get them all with the traps, but it helped out a lot.
That's nice. I was just doing quests mainly, and also the challenge mission Altrium Runes.
Yeah.
I would just follow everybody around and try to keep them alive for as long as they could before they all died.
That one I only tried twice, I think, and I didn't really like it too much.
Yeah, there's, like, massive amounts of mobs. But I only needed 21 amber, so it was a lot easier.
So on that update on May 19th, they also started what Gail Gray said that they were going to do a while ago, which was make inventory slots more stackable. And
mm-hmm.
they made it so that scrolls now can stack, which is really good. Except scrolls that you had before won't stack. Only the ones after May 19th that you get
right.
stack. So that should help out a little bit.
But how many scrolls do you carry on you?
Well, I carry a lot more than I should, and I never use them, and I don't know why. I don't buy them. I just collect them, and then I figure, well, when I make a new character, I'm going to give all these scrolls to him, and he's going to use them. And it's going to be great, and he's going to get a lot of experience fast, but I never do it. I don't know why. So I got, like, one character with, like, 20 scrolls, and I don't know why I save them.
Jeez.
I don't know why I save them. I need to go sell them or something.
Yeah, I pick up the scrolls, and I sell them. If you get a scroll, and you know how it looks like it's already identified, right? If you ID it, you'll get more gold out of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it looks like it's already identified, but you use an ID kit on it, and... it'll be worth more.
Oh, cool. I'll have to try that.
It doesn't change the stats or anything, as far as I know, but it'll give you, you know, a couple hundred extra gold if you've got a gold one. And then, let's see, May 23rd improved the spam filter?
Yeah. You know what that's about?
No. I mean, I know sometimes that I would just be typing fast, and then it thinks that I'm spamming. I'm like, thanks.
Yeah, basically, it fixed that to where normal people having a normal conversation don't have to wait 20 minutes between sentences, you know. And I think they made it pretty strict at first, not really realizing how strict it was. And they just had to find that fine line between the people who spam and the people who are just typing fast, you know.
That's cool.
And on that day also, they fixed that problem that they're having with the heavy lag that I talked about last show, I think it was. They say that they fixed it. They said it was a bug that caused certain towns and outposts to experience heavy lag. I've been... through all the cities that had the heavy lag before, like Matu Keep and House Zuhelzer and stuff like that, and it seemed like they don't really have much lag at all now.
Really? I lag really bad in the first districts, so, I mean, just as a general rule, I try to go to the last district, but it's still nasty.
Yeah, I don't think they anticipated how many people would be playing like this.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't anticipate it because they sold out of collector's edition so fast.
Yeah. Okay, here is an update that I was like, ah, when I saw it. Okay, so I've been playing factions, like, and hadn't been doing hardly any Tyria except for missions to get my, and bonuses to get my protector title, right? So after like 2 weeks, I finally went into UW like a whole bunch of times and got nothing. We couldn't believe it. There was no ecto dropping. Well, May 26th, there's an update that says, fixed a bug that prevented ectoplasm and obsidian shards from dropping.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what? There's a bug and that's why we weren't getting anything? Oh my god.
It looks like a lot of the other updates aren't really that important or even that descriptive. A lot of them just say they, you know, fixed bugs and made improvements to the following quests, and then they list a bunch of quests. They don't really go into detail at all.
Yeah, fixed bugs and made improvements in the following quests? What does that mean?
Yeah.
That could be anything from making sure the NPCs follow you correctly to nerfing it, you know?
Yeah, it's funny that they don't really describe what happens on these quests. You know, in the same token, they say that they tell you when they changed the type of chest that appeared in Raisu Palace. Well, okay.
Well, that would be important if you were going to, like, bring in a whole bunch of keys, and then you went in, and then you're like, oh, this is the wrong type of chest.
Yeah, that's true. And they did change that a lot, actually. Like, on May 23rd, they fixed a lot of the key problems, I guess. There was a merchant in Zinku Corridor who now sells Phantom Keys and Obsidian Keys. I think Zinku Corridor is, that's the place in Factions where you can go down to the UW.
Does it end up going to the same FOW?
Yeah. From what I hear, it's the same place and everything. It's basically Canton's version of the Temple of Ages.
Why do you want to go there?
No, I don't. I mean, yeah, I see your point. I could just go to Temple of Ages, but I don't know.
And there's less lag.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your office is, like, at ArenaNet, right?
Yeah, right next to Gail Grade.
That's cool. Do you ever, like, go to lunch with her?
Oh, all the time, yeah.
That's awesome. I want to marry her.
I ask her every day, but I usually yell it to her, you know, because she's used to that.
Do you begin every sentence that you talk to her with Gail Gray?
And if she doesn't answer me within 1.3 seconds, I say it again. And then I say it again and again and again.
Awesome. And you have to stand, like, 2 centimeters away from her.
Actually, I stand within her most of the time. Just.
Okay, that wasn't as funny as I thought it would be. This has been exciting. I don't know, it doesn't seem like we've talked about anything very interesting. This might be a really boring episode. My notes say, listen to what Sean said. Smile, nod like you understand. I'm starting to rub off on Loudon, though. Yet just yesterday, he called me the most emotional person he ever met.
Aw, I'm a better player drunk than you are sober.